We desperately need more of you. We ask for your truth to be louder than the noise which surrounds us, for your mercy to be stronger than the voices of oppression, for your strength to overpower those who seek to do harm. Where there is division, bring unity. Where there is anger, bring peace. Where there is evil, bring victory. Empower us to fulfill your mission, to answer your calling, to be the light you've created us to be. May your love, your grace, and your mercy flood this world. We love you. We seek you. We place our hope in the mighty name of Jesus. This we pray.
Good morning. Good to see you all. Just a couple things. That worship team, really appreciate your music today. Band, you were right on today. It sounded good, and the voices sounded good. Secondly, we are having communion a little later, and so if you didn't grab the elements as you came in, if you'll stick your hand up, Christoph is ready to deliver them to you. So that when it comes time and you want to be a part of that, you can. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know, but I've noticed, at least when it comes to my conversations with God, my prayers, a lot of the conversations seem to revolve around certainly things that matter. I'm not saying that, but there's not necessarily an intensity to them. There are a couple of pastors that I'm counseling with that I pray for pretty regular, on a pretty daily basis. My parents, who are getting up there in age and struggling with some old age issues, they're in my daily prayers, even though for the most part they're doing okay, but those prayers aren't intense. I pray for my kids. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for my wife, of course. She has to put up with me. You should pray for her as well. But generally, they're just they're pretty common engagements, conversations with the Heavenly Father. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's really what prayer is, conversations with our Father, with God. But every once in a while, something happens that ups the intensity of my prayers. You've probably experienced that as well. A number of years ago, my father was asked by the founder of the mission that him and mom had served with for a number of years. Mary Lou and I served with for 30 years. I have two brothers that are still in Village Missions. And he was asked by the founder of the mission to become the next director of Village Missions. And they felt that's what God wanted them to do. They had to pack up. They lived on the East Coast. They had to move all the way to the West Coast, to the state of Oregon, which is where the national headquarters for Village Missions is. And then Dad began a 3 or 4 year process of transition, of being side by side with Reverend Duff, kind of learning the ropes and getting a sense of what his vision was for the future and things that need to be done. And so we went through that process. And near the end of the time, when the mantle was going to be transferred to my father was out in his garage one day working on a ladder. Ladder twisted on him. He fell and came down on the corner of a cupboard, ripped his spleen in two. And by the time the paramedics got there, it didn't look like there would be anything they could do for Dad. They did rush him to the hospital. And the surgeon that was going to take my dad into surgery told my mother not to anticipate him living. It was that bad. There's a host of people praying. Obviously, I was praying. My mom was praying. My siblings, everyone, lots of people involved in praying for Dad. But I'll never forget when Reverend Duff, the mission's founder, came to the side of my dad's hospital bed. My dad laid there. And he grabbed my dad's hand. And he said, "Jack, we are storming the gates of heaven on your behalf. We're praying that God would choose to let you live." Have you ever prayed something with the intensity of that description? We're storming the gates of heaven. Maybe regarding a loved one that's gone through a very hard time. And so you talk to God about them, and there is a whole ton of emotions and passion in your prayer because of the concern in your heart. Maybe an adult child that's making destructive decisions in life, and your heart aches for what it's costing them. And so you storm the gates on their behalf. Maybe you've gotten one of those phone calls that says there's been an accident. You need to come to the hospital immediately. And as you drive to the hospital, you open your heart with the passion and intensity, asking God to save your loved one. And I bring all this up because I believe that that is what begins to happen in the prayer we've been looking at. We're in John, Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're looking at a prayer that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. It would be his last extended prayer before the cross. He'll pray one more time in the garden. But this prayer is just, he's walking through the things on his heart. If you remember, it takes place in the upper room. His disciples are gathered around him. They're listening to him talk to his Father. At this point in the prayer, the prayer takes a turn. There's an uptick of intensity. And I'll show you why I know that to be true in a moment. And his cry to his Father is, "Father, please protect them." Let me show you what I mean as we move on this morning, chapter 17 of John, and we'll go to verse 9, where Jesus says, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours." Now, in your English translation, you look up in verse 1 and it tells us that Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven and he prays to the Father. And then you get down here and it says that, again, he's praying, not praying for the world at this time. He's prayed for the world at other times, but praying specifically for his disciples. But what you don't see in the English translation is the word in verse 1 and the word down here, the two words translated prayer in verse 9, are not even the same word. The word back up before, and the usual word for prayer, is the word prosika. And it shows up as prayer in our English translations 127 times in our New Testament. It's the normal word. But the word that shows up here is rato. And I practice rolling my R for that, so just so you know. It only shows up 14 times in all of Scripture. And it is a word that means pleading, begging, beseeching, storming the gates. This prayer by Jesus to his heavenly Father has just taken the turn. And notice he's being very specific. He says, "Father, I'm not talking about just anyone here. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about anyone else. It's not one of those, Lord, bless my family and take care of them today prayers," which there's nothing wrong with those kind of prayers, but he's getting very specific here. "No, Father, I'm pleading with you regarding those 11 individuals that have stayed with me, that you gave me as my disciples, those 11 men that are going to be commissioned, as we saw last week, to, once Jesus is gone, carry the message on, the good news. Lord, I'm pleading for those 11 individuals. They don't get it still, but they will. Jesus prays, I plead with you, Holy Father. I plead with you. In fact, jump down to verse 11. I plead with you, Holy Father, protect them. Protect them. Or it could have been translated, guard over them. But here's what strikes me about Jesus making this request. We're talking about God's Son here. God in the flesh. As we saw last week, the manifestation of God on earth, the representation of what God is like in flesh and blood. He's the Son of God. Doesn't he trust the Father? Doesn't he know that God knows everything, that God the Father knows what's on his heart and what's concerning him even before he asks? And by the way, why is he concerned in the first place? He knows the Father. He knows that God is sovereign, that God's plans never fail. They always come to fulfillment. And we talked last week, this is a plan that's been put in place even before the earth's foundations were put in place. He knows that nothing catches the Father by surprise. He doesn't need to be informed of anything. Doesn't Jesus realize this? And if he does, then why is he begging the Father, pleading to the Father to do these things, to protect these men that he loves? Doesn't he know? Of course he does. He knows these things. Of course he does. But here's what else he knows. He knows that he needs to have this conversation with his Father. He needs to rehearse the things that are troubling his heart with his Heavenly Father. He needs to share those concerns. And he also knows this. The Father, our Father, welcomes these kinds of conversations with his Son, with his children, with you, with me. He absolutely takes no offense to such conversations, or even stronger, sometimes confrontations. If you don't believe me, look at some of the Psalms. They're not happy with God, and they're telling them so. And that doesn't offend God. He wants his kids to talk to him about these things. He wants his Son to talk with him about what is on his heart, whatever it is. And he wants the same from you, and he wants the same from me. It's such a foolish and harmful exercise when we make prayer somehow about words and formulas. It's about talking to God. He wants you to know that you can talk to him about anything. Your pains, your fears, your gripes, even the ones that have to do with him. Your hopes, your dreams, what you're worried about, where you're having trouble trusting him, your doubts. You can talk to him about anything. In fact, I think that's what we learn from Jesus' pleading, that we should talk to the Heavenly Father about anything and everything. He's there for us. He was there for His Son. So Jesus pleads with the Father for these men who have come to mean so much to Him, for their protection. Does he doubt God? Does he think he needs to inform God about the situation? Maybe it slipped God's mind. Does he think that the Father might miss this concern if he doesn't address it? No. No. He just needs to talk to his dad about the things that are troubling his heart. And the Heavenly Father welcomes these kinds of conversations from His Son, from you, His child. But I skipped some verses. Let's go back up to verse 10. Where we read, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. What's going on here? Well, again, I think he's just acknowledging, rehearsing maybe for himself, what he knows to be true. Father, I know you love these men. They're yours. You have a stake in what happens. You were part of the plans we made for them to carry on this mission. I know where your heart is about them, and you know where my heart is. You gave them to me. They've been with me. They have followed and set at my feet and hung with me these 3.5 years. He's rehearsing what he knows to be true, but he needs to hear himself say it to his Father, and there's nothing wrong with that. God, I know you love these men as well. In reality, they're yours. You care what happens to them. And God, you know that they're important for what comes next. They're the ones who are going to tell everyone the truth about me. Remember a few weeks ago in his prayer, we saw him talking to God about his concern about as he hung on that cross, and which would identify him as the worst of the scum of the earth. And he says, Father, you're going to have to glorify me because this is the destruction this is going to do. People are going to believe the lie. And here he says, these men, Lord, you know, they're part of how that gets resolved. They're the ones that are going to tell the truth about me, that I am the Messiah. And more than that, that I'm the Savior that has come to offer to anyone who will receive it forgiveness and eternal life. That's an offer to you if you've never accepted a gift, forgiveness. Adoption into his family, eternal life. So, Father, we need to protect them because the world needs to hear the good news. It's that good news that sacrifice by our Savior Jesus on the cross as a payment for our sin that we remind ourselves of when we take the bread and we take the cup. It reminds us of God's love for you, for me. It reminds us of that day that we first finally understood it, you know, that there may have been a period of time where you had question marks and you'd heard the good news and it sounded too good to be true. How could it be that simple that I just accept this gift of forgiveness? How could it be that easy? Well, it wasn't easy for our Lord. He paid a tremendous cost so that it would be easy for you and I. And that finally clicked, and you recognize, I need a Savior. I have a Savior. I accept that gift, Father. Thank you. It reminds us of that. It reminds us to be grateful. Reminds us that we now have peace between us and the Heavenly Father, and that peace is going to last forever. Nothing can take that away. It reminds us that we are sons and daughters of God, and that someday soon we'll get to go live with Him. And so we take the bread, and if you've never done one of these before, that's that little thin layer on the top that I never could get first service. I finally said, you take the bread, because I can't get the thing out of there. So I worked ahead this time. But we take that bread, which represents His body, which was broken for us, and we eat it together. And then we take the cup, which represents His shed blood, the giving of His life as payment for our sins in our place, and we drink the cup. Father, thank You. We are so grateful for You being willing to come into our world, take on Yourself the penalty of our sins, and offer us this gift. Thanks for this reminder this morning. We pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Let me finish up this morning by reading verse 11 and verse 12. He goes on, Jesus, I will remain in the world no longer, but they, the 11 He's talking about, are still in the world. And I'm coming to You, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one. It's interesting, the the Holy Father there, that those combination of words show up one place in all of Scripture, and it's right here. And again, I think Jesus is rehearsing to Himself what He knows about His Father, that His Heavenly Father is holy. He has been separated from the world. And at the same time, these men that He gave Him have been separated from the world, separated out for God's use. But on top of that, He is also the Father. He cares. He loves. You know, if you've ever sent a child off to college or off on a mission trip, you probably get a little sense of what is going on in Jesus' prayer there. In fact, look at verse 12 as He goes on. He says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name You gave Me. And none of us been lost except the one doomed to destruction so Scripture would be fulfilled. He's saying, kind of like you did, you know, if you've ever dropped your child at college and you're driving away and it's one of those intense prayers. Father, I've always been there, you know. I could check and see if they were in at night and they were safe. I kept eye on it. Nowadays we have it on our phone. Okay, I know where they are, so we're okay, you know. Father, I have always been there. I've always been there, but I'm not going to be now. So You're going to have to watch over them. You're going to have to take care of them. I can't be there every moment, probably for this point on in their life, so take care of them. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, Father, I'm not going to be there now to protect them. Take care of my friends, these guys that I love, that I've been able to personally watch over, but now I won't be there personally. So I plead with You, Father, and I know that You will. Watch over them. And again, does Jesus know His Father will take care of him? Yeah, He knows. He knows that. But He just needs to say it. And the Father's fine with that. So where does that leave us this morning? Well, I hope for one thing it leads us maybe with a better understanding of our Heavenly Father, of how much He cares about you and what's going on in your life, and how important it is to Him that we share our hearts, that we don't hold back, that we talk to him about the things that are shaking us up at the moment, or the people we love that we're concerned about, or the anxiety that is overwhelming us, which we tell ourselves, I know I should trust you, God, but right now I'm a little shaky on that. His message is to us is, talk to me about it. Come to me. I care. I want you to share these things with me because you're my child and I love you. And I love it when you share your heart with me. So what's going on in your heart this morning? Perhaps you held back. You've said to yourself, well, I can't talk to God about something like that. Yes, you can. He wants you to. Perhaps right now you are storming the gates of heaven about someone or something in your life. Know that he's listening. That he is so glad you're sharing that with him. Did he know it? Yeah, he knew it. Is he going to answer your prayer? He will. It's not always the way we think he should, but he will. But he wants you to know as his child, I love it when you share your heart with me. Father, thank you for that information this morning. We don't often understand you as we should. We don't understand the heart you have for us. We hold back things that we're maybe assumed that you wouldn't be interested in, but you are. I pray for anyone here this morning that has a troubled heart. I pray that they'll walk out of this time in your word with the clear knowledge that, boy, I need to talk to God about this. I need to talk to my Father about this. Because you're the one that has the answers. You're the one that has the plan. But even more important, you care and you take care. So, Lord, we appreciate your word so much. In the reminder of who you are as our Heavenly Father. As we move into the world around us, a lost world that is so desperate for something to fill that void, Lord, help your children to do a really good job of shining the light. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, church, we're going to close with one last chorus. I invite you to stand as we do our prayer team's going to come to the front. Maybe this morning you've been listening and you just need someone to storm the gates with you. They'll be up here to pray with you over anything you got going on. You just need someone to pray with. They'll be here. Let's sing this last chorus together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.